You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. Today's podcast is a continuation of podcasts 47 and 48, where Monica and I continue to talk about food, GMOs, and what we're calling the bronze, silver, and gold levels of eating. Okay, I think we've beaten the GMO horse to death over and over and over again. I think we've also beaten the standard American diet to death over and over again. And so now we are. We're in America. We have massive chronic disease. We're one of the highest nations in the world as far as chronic disease. We have people that are that do not have, they're malnourished yet overweight.
Yeah.
So let's now go into the kind of the model that we came up with. At least it's a framework for discussing it, and we actually just broke it down into kind of what we call bronze, silver, and gold eating.
Yeah.
So let's start there. I guess we should start with some assumptions before we even get into those levels. What are we assuming? We're assuming some things about junk food and soda.
Yeah, I mean, for the basics, it's like, okay, you're just going to get rid of soda or massively decrease to the point that you're able to get rid of soda if you're a soda drinker, or those power drinks. What are those?
Energy drinks.
Energy drinks, yeah. Anything like that. Just
it's terrible.
Yeah, they really are.
It doesn't matter if they have ginseng in them.
Yeah,
or B vitamins.
It's just not—it's not good when you're talking about like monsters and things like that. Yeah. That's just garbage. So we're assuming you're going to start decreasing and eventually alleviating those from your diet completely, including your children's diets. The other thing, junk food.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking the chips and the candy and
microwave popcorn.
Right. Yeah, we're just gonna kind of make an assumption that. That if you're listening to this, that you have a desire to live a healthier life, that you already know that.
Right.
Okay. We're not going to cover everything like that. But I want to say, like, microwave popcorn, some of the worst thing that you could possibly eat.
Yeah. And it's so easy to make homemade popcorn. I mean, that's simple. Get non-GMO popcorn, because almost all the popcorn you buy out there, Orville Redenbacher or any other kind, it's all GMO corn.
Right.
So, you know, and you're not going to get as pretty a pop. You know, they're not going to be as big and fluffy and everything else, but
right.
They taste good and they don't, and they do your body good.
That's right. They're not detrimental to your
health.
Okay, so with those fundamental assumptions, those baseline common sense, healthy eating components, we go into our model and we start at the bronze level. This is the kind of the first step where you're coming out of, you're waking up, and you see what's going on around you. You understand it, and you realize, okay, I don't want that.
Right.
So what is the bronze level?
So you're switching over to organic.
Right.
As much
even
as possible.
Even despite kind of our little bit of a bashing on the organic label.
Yeah.
It's still better.
It is. It's better. So, and that means that maybe what you do 1 week is you say, okay, I'm going to switch to buying organic milk. Okay. So now you've gotten away from the traditional milk. And maybe that's all dairy products. So 1 week, it's all dairy products. You go to organic dairy. Now you go to organic bread.
Right.
You know, so making slow transitional changes. And some things you can do very quickly. If you're buying non-organic, I don't know, fruit and vegetables, that's something you can switch over really quick if there's an organic option.
Right. Plus, there's certain fruits and vegetables that would be more advantageous to go organic than others, like root vegetables and things like that.
Right, because they're sitting in the soil and they're absorbing everything.
So, you know, do a little bit of research and like you're basically what you're getting at here is it's a process. Even getting to the bronze level, it's a process. It's not something that just can be done overnight.
Right, and don't shock your family. It's like, okay, you know, we're switching over to all organic, and you're not having any more of your junk food. If you have, you know, modeled that in your family where you're having a lot of convenience foods and things like that. Don't, you can't go just throwing everything out and switching completely.
Right. It's a process.
It is, and people need to get used to it. You know, and even when I talk to people about switching to brown rice versus white rice, right. Do it slowly.
Right.
Make white rice and a little bit of brown rice and combine it in.
Right. And there's some things that'll be almost transparent. So, for example, maybe you can't afford or you can't find organic butter, but maybe you can buy butter that does not have the RBST in it. Which, what does that stand for again? Do you remember?
It's
obviously the hormone that's added.
Yeah.
But it's
the recombinant bovine somatotropin, but it's also called RBGH, which is recombinant bovine growth hormone.
Okay.
It's a naturally found hormone, but what they've done is that they've genetically modified it with an E. coli bacteria, and they inject it into the cows. And so this can lead to not only antibiotic-resistant bacteria that's actually found in the milk that's, you know, intended for human consumption.
Right.
So we could be getting this bacteria that's resistant to antibiotics, but also that there's been studies out that show that there's changes in the milk protein that actually increase your right. allergic reactions to the milk.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're kind of getting into A1 versus A2, which we've discussed before. We've had dairy farmers on to talk about that.
And this is even beyond that. And I mean, we're not even going that healthy. That this is now literally changing things so that your body rejects it.
Right.
doesn't have the same live enzymes that are allowing your body to break down that protein.
Right. So, you definitely want to avoid that.
Yeah, because that milk is not only filled with the synthetic hormone, but now it's also filled with antibiotics.
Right. So you mentioned that right off the bat. You said, okay, basically get your dairy organic,
get it organic
as quickly as possible.
Yes.
That's one thing you can do right off the bat. You're going to pay a little bit more for it, but it's worth it.
Yeah, you are. And, later we'll go into what would be silver and the more preferred method.
Yeah.
But that would be a really good step. And honestly, nobody would notice.
Yeah,
nobody
correct.
Would notice. There's no taste difference.
No, you're right. Okay, so some things like that. So the organic milk, the non-RBST butter.
Yeah.
Or even better, organic butter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's real important that your dairy be organic.
Yeah, and see, I know places like Costco and I think even Walmart now carry organic meat, and that would be another thing that would be important, and nobody would notice
right.
your transition.
And they're also starting to carry a lot of organic vegetables.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about, you know, as you're doing this transition, starting with the ones that are more important than the others.
Yeah.
Starting with the root vegetables that are organic as opposed to something else like lettuce.
I think that celery was one of those too, an important one, because it has so much water content that it's absorbed from the soil. So if you've got non-organic celery, you're probably getting a lot of toxins and a lot of chemicals.
You can find that out there. You can Google the Dirty Dozen and all that kind of stuff. That's all out there.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to find. Okay, so what else with bronze? Basically what you're saying is bronze is the organic level.
Yeah.
We're not worried so much, but I'm going to go in there and I am a little bit conscious of what we're buying and what we're feeding our families. And so we're going to buy organic as much as possible.
Yeah. And I would say, because we understand that so many of America's meals are outside the home, that may be something that you want to evaluate. How many times are you eating out a week?
Yeah. Are you one of the typical Americans that where 20% of the time you're eating at restaurants or fast food?
Right. And so if that's the case, then start looking at ways to decrease that and increase your home cooking.
Right.
And start, you know, learning some basic recipes that are super simple, that don't have to take a long time, and start taking seriously learning how to cook so that you can move up in this thing, and, you know, so cooking doesn't become so difficult.
Okay.
Do crock-pot meals.
Yeah, absolutely. So bronze, as a way of review, that's the organic level. That's the, you've dramatically reduced. I'm trying to say, okay, what does it look like when you've achieved bronze? What does that look like?
I would say you're getting mostly organic foods.
Okay.
That you have decreased your prepackaged processed foods, even organically. because even organic crackers and chips and all of those things still aren't good for you. So decrease that a little bit and decrease your eating out. You know, look at how much you're eating out and try and do, you know, if you're eating out 5 times a week, try and get it down to 1 time a week. But that's a special treat rather than the norm.
Right. Okay. All right. That makes sense. I got a good picture in my mind on what the bronze level of eating is. Process to get there, but that's what it looks like when you're there.
Yeah.
When you've achieved it. All right. We're moving towards silver now. Silver. So this is, there's a lot of different names for this. Some people will say locavores, and other terms like that. But it's also a process. It's
yes.
also a process. So you're at bronze and you're moving towards silver. So how does one do that?
Well, you begin to look for places that maybe have crop shares that you can participate in. So that you're getting some local seasonal vegetables.
Okay.
Find farmers around or...
So community supported agriculture, CSAs.
Right.
And there's crop shares, like you said. I mean, there's like, you could buy a share in a cow, for example.
Right.
In a dairy cow.
And so you're able to get raw milk. Okay. There's also companies within cities that will do organic delivery. Like, they'll pull in fruits and vegetables from farms all around.
Right, but it's seasonal and it's local.
Seasonal and local. And so, yes, is it going to be a little challenging cook-wise? Yeah. When I did that in Okinawa, because when I first got to Okinawa, I didn't know. I mean, I went into, you know, one of the farmers market where all the farmers brought their stuff, and I'm just looking at the vegetables. I couldn't read kanji, and I'm looking at everything going, what is this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Right.
So there was
some of the stuff you brought home. You taste it and be like, "Wow,
that's
not
terrible."
What we were thinking,
right? It was looked totally different.
I was going to taste like a cucumber, and that didn't taste like a cucumber.
Yeah.
It tasted like something very bitter
and weird.
And weird.
So,
but you learn how to use it.
Well, what I did was there was a young lady who was Okinawan American, and she had moved back to Okinawa, and she was working with the farmers, and she was getting just the seasonal vegetables, and then she would do a write up. This is what this is called in English, and these are the ways to prepare it. So over about 3 or 4 months that I did this on a weekly basis, picking up this fruit and vegetable bag, family-sized bag, I was able to learn the local produce. So then I could stop doing that, and I could go to the farmer's market and on my own and look for the things and know how to cook them and prepare them, and I'd come up with my own recipes and unique ways of using the vegetables. That kind of fit into our family style of eating.
Right. Okay. And if somebody is then, they're looking for the local dairy provider. They're doing farm pickup or they're doing home delivery. They're looking for those kinds of things. They're looking for meat that's local.
Well, you know,
locally grown.
There are websites that that cater to those searches, like where farmers can put on their name, their address, and what products they carry, and how they do it, whether it's through a cow share or whether it's just through farm pickup or delivery or anything like that. And so do that simple Google search for your area, and you'll probably find quite a few.
Right. So this is really kind of getting into that, like I said, the next level. This is silver. This is a better model than the organic, the quote-unquote organic model. I mean, if you think about it, where we get our milk and where we get our eggs, you know, and whether they're duck eggs or chicken eggs, they don't have organic labels.
No. No, but we know the people who are growing everything.
So it's, part of this is get to know your farmer.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're friends of ours, and we understand, you know, we've been to their farms.
Yeah.
We see how the cows are living. We see how the chickens are living.
Right, and we know what they're feeding them and not feeding them.
Right. Yeah, so if the more local you are, the less concerned you have to be with organic.
Now, how challenging is it to cook seasonally as opposed to, you know, because we're used to being able to go into a store and we can buy tomatoes any time of the year, anytime we want.
Yeah, I would say if you haven't been the kind of person that has learned how to cook a variety of things, it could be challenging at first because, you know, like, oh, squash is in season. Well, if you've never been a preparer of squash, it's kind of a pain to try and learn some new fruits and vegetables. But it also can be fun. It can be challenging. And then everybody looking at it and kind of going, huh, okay, here's a new vegetable that we get to try. There is always a good side and a difficult side of everything that you do that's new and that you're changing. And in this case, I would say that the good outweighs the bad simply because you're learning something new, which is always good for your mind, and you're increasing your child's palate and your own palate, and learning that food is more than just pleasure. It's also something that needs to be nourishing you.
Right. Now, with this silver level of local and seasonal, we can still take that local food as seasonal food and preserve it, right? And that, that's a way of extending our use of that food.
Yeah, I mean,
and it would still fit into this silver category.
Yep, you have fermenting, you have canning, you have drying.
Right.
I mean, all of these things. And matter of fact, this summer when I was passing one of the big farmers markets, they had peaches and nectarines on for really cheap, and so I bought 50 pounds and went home and sliced, and I made fruit leather and dried fruit. I didn't do any canning, but I did a lot of drying.
Right.
And it was delicious, and it didn't last us a long time because we have a lot of people who eat food here, and it wasn't that much, but it was really great. I mean, we were able to extend that fruit out about a month.
Right.
For us, because we ate it by then.
Yeah.
Because it was delicious.
Right. But that's an important point. But so you just have to kind of change your thinking.
Yeah.
You have to be able to look at it and go, okay, well, you know, during the winter time, I'm not going to have necessarily fresh fruit. I'll have preserved fruit. I'll have canned fruit. I'll have dried fruit.
Right.
And that's okay, because you know what? That's actually a better way of eating.
Right.
Than buying this quote unquote organic food that's been shipped from 5,000 miles away.
Right. And exactly. And a lot of the dried food actually has what, sulfur or something in it. So that's another thing that you don't have to add when you're drying your own.
When you're drying your own.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what does it look like when someone has achieved the silver level?
Well, they're getting hopefully as much of their food, 100% if they can, from local farmers. They're getting their dairy from a local farmer. They found sources for local meat.
Right.
Even if it means, like, you know, we have friends who've talked to us about raising a
pig
for them.
Yeah.
And they would pay for it, and they'd, you know, we'd work out the finances somehow, but we'd be raising the pig so that they could have a fresh, naturally raised pork.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
there's ways to do it.
Yes. I agree. So that's what that level looks like.
Yeah.
It's local, it's seasonal. You're getting everything locally, you're preserving food. I can't say that every single thing, but the vast majority of your food is done this way.
Yeah. And the other thing that you can look for, which is something that we do, is co-ops. And, you know, because, you know, organically, I mean, locally, we can't necessarily find large bags of bulk grain.
Right.
However, we get ours from Oregon, and that comes through our co-op, and that gets delivered to us once a month, and we order these large bags of organic grains, whole grains.
I thought a lot of it comes from Washington and the Spokane Valley and things, but Oregon?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
It comes out of Oregon.
Okay. So I would say then, that, I mean, this is where we are. We're probably at the silver level, at least mostly.
Yes.
You know, and we still have a couple of gaps
that
we're working on.
Yeah, we do.
In order to be completely on the silver level.
Yep.
And then we go to what we would consider the gold level. And some people may never even get here. You have to have a desire to go to the next step.
Yeah, and if you live in an apartment,
it's probably not going
to
happen.
You're probably not going to be able to get
but
the gold.
Anybody can get to the silver level.
Yes.
Anyone can.
Yep.
Like I said, you might have some gaps here or there, but you can largely get there.
Of course.
Anyone can.
Yep.
I don't care if you live in the middle of Los Angeles.
Correct. Even the middle of Los Angeles, they've got some really great food distribution sites that pull in from the outlying farms.
Right. It's just going to be, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to find your food sources.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about this this gold level. This is where we hope to get to. And we will get to.
Yes.
In fact, as we've mentioned on this podcast a couple different times in various ways, our goal, one of our major goals by August of 2016 is 80% of all of our calories comes off our farm.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what I would, that's getting really close to that gold level.
Yeah. I mean, gold level is you are growing your own food. You're, right. You know, you're growing your own vegetables. You have fruit trees, you have nut trees, which obviously ours won't produce for a while.
It's going to take a little while to be productive.
But you have your own animals that are giving you meat, eggs, milk.
Yeah.
You know, all of those types of things so that you're not depending on others. Now
they're also giving you manures and,
right,
and they're fertilizing.
Making everything much more abundant and healthy, property.
Because this really gets into, you want to talk about healthy food, it's not whether or not it has that USDA organic label. It's how is that grown?
Yeah.
What is the soil content of that tomato?
Right.
You know, what was it grown in? It doesn't matter if it has that label. I keep going back to that because, you know, like I said, it's been co-opted. So when you see all these studies that say, oh, the organic food is only a little bit healthier than commercially, well, that's, you got to understand how that was grown.
Right. And the other thing is about that test, and I know this is a little bit off subject here, but about that test, they're not testing pesticide levels or herbicide levels.
Right.
They're just testing, like, how many B vitamins are in this or how many C vitamins. That they're testing vitamin content, not toxicity of the actual plant.
That's a great point.
But one of the things about the gold level is because I don't know that you would ever be able to grow 100% of everything that you need. Maybe you could say, well, I don't want to have any more bread because we're not going to have a big wheat field. So you could go off any kind of grains.
Sure. I mean, could you survive?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
However, you know, again, if you've already achieved silver, then you have found your local or co-op type sources for the things that you're not going to grow. Like for us, it would be the whole grains.
Right.
But
we may grow some grains, but that's going to be like for chicken forage and things like that.
Right. And then the other thing is that maybe there is something that your property just doesn't lend itself to. Maybe you have city ordinances that say, no, you cannot have any chickens here.
Right.
Okay.
Move.
Okay, yes, move. However, if you can't move or you're choosing not to move and you really want to have something, well, maybe you can have rabbits and you can
a rabbitry is very
exchange
simple.
With somebody who has eggs.
That's right.
So, you know, you're doing bartering, you're doing exchanges, and there's plenty of things that you could do.
So you're talking like a mixture between silver and gold at this point.
Right. If that's, but again, I don't know that, is gold 100%?
No, because like we said, we've kind of come to this conclusion that we're not going to be able to do 100%. Now, could we survive off of our 80%? Of course.
Yeah.
We could. But like you, your example of the grains.
Right.
We're buying non-GMO, you know, or quote-unquote organic grains for that portion. But our goal is 80%. And I think that's a pretty good threshold. I mean, if you're growing 80% of all of your own food and you're honest with yourself and your caloric intake is met by that, by your farm or your homestead, that's a pretty good measuring stick.
I agree. So then that leaves that 20% for barter or for purchasing from a co-op or purchasing from a local farmer or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, this is obviously a process. This really gets into a lot of the things that we talk about with permaculture and homesteading. And you've got to have a little bit of space for this. You really do. And this today's podcast is not about, you know, what you can do with 1 acre or what you can do with 5 acres. Or, you know, or how much do you need? How much land do you need? These are great questions. How much land do you need to get to that 80% level? But we're just kind of defining what is that gold label, that gold level. And for us, I think it's, can you provide 80% of your own calories from your farm grown in a sustainably
responsible
method?
Way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is highly nutrient dense foods.
Yeah, and then not only that, it's going to increase your yield every year. Because the healthier your soil is, the more diverse your plant life and your animals are, the greater the yield every single year.
That's right.
So we'll actually maybe in a few years be able to provide the majority of our caloric needs, especially if we decrease, our
grains. Right, our whole grains.
Which we don't need a lot of whole grains right now, really, anyway. Because, you know, the beginning of the month, I made a commitment to say, I'm going to make all of our, any prepared grain things, bread, tortillas, pitas, biscuits, English muffins, anything. And so we've really decreased the amount that we're eating.
Right, because that all came from literally whole grains that you milled.
Right.
And made yourself.
Yeah, I took whole grains, yeah. Ground the flour. Yeah, made it all.
Right, okay, so we can, just like we did with the other ones, okay, so then at the end, what does that gold level look like? What is the family that has achieved gold status when it comes to eating? What does that look like?
Well, they're growing 80% of their caloric needs, whether it be through meats, dairy.
Fruits, vegetables, nuts.
Vegetables, yeah.
Fish.
Fish, yeah. I mean, we're going to hopefully have some fish in our pond.
Right.
So that, to me, that would be gold. You are to the point that if everything went bad, you could easily survive on what you're growing and producing on your own land.
Right. So it is. It's a self-perpetuating system.
Yes.
A sustainable system as well. Okay. I think that's a pretty good definition. Are there any other final topics that you want to hit with food? We've been going for a long time. We'll probably break this podcast down into three just because it's been so long. But are there any final thoughts that you have on food, whether it's a standard American diet or GMOs or an individual family's kind of quest, to healthy eating? Because that's really hard.
It is hard. I guess my last input would be that if you are going from really, truly a standard American diet and trying to move toward even silver, to not do it so quickly that you burn out. Don't try and go, I've got to change all of this right now. We're in a panic. Like, okay, I'm creating disease in my family. Don't panic. Just make slow incremental changes.
Yeah.
And over time, in a year, you'll look back and go, wow, look how different we're eating today compared to what we were a year ago. And with each positive change, you're contributing a little bit more to your health and your children's health. And, you know, get everybody active so that you're getting a little bit of exercise. People aren't sitting in front of the television eating potato chips or microwave popcorn or playing video games. Make little life changes. And after those little changes, it goes a long way in a very short period of time. You'll notice your family is, the dynamics of your family have changed.
Right. Okay. So basically what you're saying is small changes. Don't get discouraged by it.
Yeah.
And if you slip, get back up and keep going. You know, one thing I would say is, again, we kind of broke it down into these categories to provide a framework to think about it. Think about food and health in our bronze, silver, and gold. But you could have pieces of all of those.
Yes.
You know, you could have your own rabbit tree. You buy organics, and the only thing you can find locally is, you know, dairy. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, this is a combination. You're not really hitting any of those categories fully, but that's okay. Like I said, we broke them down that way in order to provide a way to think about it.
Right. Yeah, just to start. The other thing I want to talk about just a little bit is herbs. You know, because our healthcare system is so overwhelmed. And
all the chronic disease.
Yes, chronic disease. But not only that, things like, oh, my child has a fever or my child has a cold and there's this panic. And there's so much dependence on the medical system that we feel like there's nothing that we can actively do.
Right.
I highly encourage to just do some basic research on a few little remedies that you can keep at home. And these are things that can be grown in a pot or in a garden or whatever,
right,
even in an apartment, you know, basic echinacea, and even just keeping teas. If you can't grow something, then get some remedies at home. But that would be, I think, included in the bronze, silver, and gold, too. So the bronze would be like, okay, I have some echinacea teas. I have some little tiny remedies that I bought from somebody else. The second one would be, I'm still buying those, but I'm starting to grow some of my own herbs. And by the third, by the time you're gold, you're growing all your own herbs. You're doing the preparations.
You've got plantain growing and comfrey and chickweed and
echinacea and lavender.
And dandelion. And you've got all this stuff growing. Yeah. You've got a big old herb garden. Maybe even year-round in greenhouses.
Exactly. And you're learning how to preserve them.
For the purpose of medicinals.
Yes. You're learning how to preserve, and you're learning how to use them.
And to make tinctures.
Yeah. Tinctures, decoctions, things like that.
Infusions, right?
Yeah, infusions. I mean, there's lots of different, even putting on poultices.
Right. No, that's a great point. And especially for the smaller ailments. I mean, why are we running to the doctors over small ailments?
Right. Exactly, or depending even on over-the-counter medication or things like that, when there are other alternatives that would be healthier for your family and easier for you to grow on your own.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
That's it.
Okay. This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.